I'm glad you're all here this morning. A couple of things I just want to highlight. Hopefully you were able to grab a bulletin. There is a men's breakfast this Saturday morning at 8 o'clock, and that's always a good time. So put that on your calendar, mark it down somewhere so you can remember to come to that. A few other things upcoming. Here in October 4th through the 7th, there is a missions conference. It's something we haven't done in a number of years. That Sunday, we will be having services as normal in the morning, in the evening, and Sunday school. And there's going to be missionaries at each one of those services. And then that Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, there is going to be a dinner here at church at 6 o'clock, and there's going to be two missionary speakers speaking at 7 o'clock every night. So that's October 4th from the through the 7th. There's a lot of planning going on with that. Maybe you have a friend that you could bribe and say, hey, come to dinner with us, and you can they'll be able to hear the gospel that night as well. So be in prayer for that situation and other things that are going on. We are actually trying a little bit different program on the computer, and that's why I think there was some hiccups. Do we got that straightened out now? We think so. Okay. So pray, maybe. We can pray for that. And some of you still, I heard some other people talking this morning, some of you still aren't sure Rodney, our song leader, and his name's Rodney Lee. He's been coming here about 4 months, and we really appreciate his willingness and the God-given abilities to be able to do this. And so if you don't know him, make sure after the service you get a chance to greet him and say hello. Look over your bulletin and make sure you have everything figured out there, but let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, we come before you, and Lord, we are grateful that you listen to us, that you're watching over us. We're just acknowledging that you are responsible for everything good in our lives and in this world, and we're thankful for that. Father, we do lift up some of these major concerns that we've been hearing about. We think of this trooper's family, this man that was killed. Watch over that family. Give them strength. We pray for the church that he was ministering at. There's a lot of heavy hearts there this morning. May you guide those leaders there as they try to minister to people. Father, we think of the individual that was involved in this crash. Help him as he's trying to cope and mentally deal with this. Father, there's lots of situations there. We think of the school that this man's wife taught at. Father, a lot of people there are very much struggling. Lord, there's much work that you and your spirit and your word can do in this situation. We pray that many people would clearly hear the gospel because of this situation. Father, we also are just thankful for the way you've been working in other people's physical lives. There's been many different ailments. We think of Jeannie, and we think of Archie and others that, Lord, you've been working in them, and you're helping them. And, Lord, there's still some pain with Jeannie, but, Lord, we know that you're going to bring her through where she needs to be. Father, just we pray for others that have been struggling that I just don't remember off the top of my head. And Lord, watch out for them in a very special way. And, Lord, just bless our service this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray again. Father God, as we approach the study of your word, clear our thoughts, even if it's just for a little while, so that we can focus on you, we can focus on how your spirit's leading us, how your word is leading us. And Father, if there's some little nagging thing going on in our minds or in our hearts that we're clinging to, Lord, help us to unload that burden upon your Son. Help us to change directions. Help us to alter our thoughts or our perceptions or whatever it may be so that we can be right in the middle of your will. In Jesus' name, amen. What do you love to do? What do you love to do? Seriously, what do you love to do? I want you to turn to someone nearby you and tell them something that you love to do. You're allowed to talk. Just tell somebody something that you love to do. Painting? One of the things that I really enjoyed doing this summer has been to walk around the Fenton Farmers Market on Thursday evenings. As long as it's not 90 degrees, or hotter, we pack up all the kids and we push Charlton around in a stroller, and we always see somebody we know from church, and the kids get to walk around and sort of expend some energy, and we get to buy some fresh stuff, and that's always a good time at the farmers market. And I've heard some other things that people have said they just love to do, and some of them are just off the wall. Somebody said they love to paint. Yeah, that's one of the worst. But there's something far more important than all of these things that we mentioned. That we love to do. There's something that far outweighs them. And there's a verse on the front of your bulletin. It's Proverbs 4:23. It says, keep or guard. Guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. You know, we all love to do lots of different things, and just sort of listening, that's very evident. And those things are really neat. Those things are very important. But God says that the most important thing is the condition of our hearts. This isn't talking about our actual beating heart, that muscle that pumps blood throughout our body. This verse is talking about our spiritual heart. Our spiritual hearts are very similar to our physical hearts. Proverbs says that the spiritual heart, it affects everything we do. We know that's true about our physical heart. It's very important. It affects all these things. We cannot live without it. But they're also very similar, because when there is a problem, whether it's with our physical heart or with our spiritual heart, there's always symptoms. What are some of the symptoms of a diseased spiritual heart? How about impatience, hate, pride, arrogance, selfishness, guilt, bitterness, lust? And what do we try to do when those symptoms are sort of cropping up in our lives? We try to hide those symptoms. A lot of times we can do a pretty good job of fooling people. But you can't fool yourself, and you can't fool the Lord. Now, I know a lot of people try to say that those symptoms of a diseased spiritual heart, they try to say that those things are just behavior problems. Ever hear that? Well, that's just bad behavior. Friends, those things aren't simply behavior problems. They are heart problems. And it doesn't matter how hard we try to hide those things, they'll always come out. Now, typically, when do those heart problems, those symptoms sort of crop up? When do they come out most often? During times of stress. I have a note sheet that was in the bulletin. I don't know if it says that or not, but they come out during times of stress. Recently, we took some students and some people and another church on a canoe trip. We canoed down the Asabo River, and we canoed to the very beginning of the Mayo Pond. Well, the very first time I ever did that canoe trip with a youth group was the summer after my senior year in high school. And we actually canoed all the way across the Mayo Pond, and we portaged over the Mayo Dam. And it was a total of about 80 miles. And it was the first really large youth group trip that our youth pastor had done, and it was the first time we'd ever done a canoe trip like that. And the first couple days was just really great. We canoed and canoed and canoed, and we only had about 15 more miles on that last day, and we started to do this Mayo Pond deal. And let me tell you this, it should not be called a pond. It should be called the Mayo Ocean. And we had to paddle our way across this massive body of water, and it wasn't easy because the wind started blowing, and when you're in open water in a canoe, it sort of just pushes you around and blows you around, and we're tired from 2 days of canoeing, and now we're trying to paddle our way across this ocean in the face of gale force winds. And if there had ever been a stressful time in my first 17 years of life, this was it. And the same was true for everybody on this trip. The stress of paddling across that pond, it caused people to start complaining and whining, and people began to say, "This is the worst experience of my life." Somebody even said, "Pastor, this stinks. I can't believe you'd even pick this activity." And the stress of that day started bringing people's heart problems to the surface. You know, when you get to school or you get to work and you find out you've just sort of failed on this project and you wish you would have prepared more or studied harder and you just sort of blow up, a spiritual heart problem's just surfaced. If you get to work and you find out that there's something that you don't want to do, so you go to some spot and you hide for the next 3 hours to avoid that confrontation, a spiritual heart problem's just surfaced. If you've come home after a long, stressful day and you kick the dog and you complain that dinner should be waiting on the table as soon as you walk through the door and yell at everyone in the house, a spiritual heart problem has just come to the surface. I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 15, and we're going to learn what Jesus had to say about these spiritual heart problems. In this passage, you'll note that Jesus is talking to the Pharisees. They were always trying to trick Jesus, but Jesus always saw through those tricks, and he always taught God's truth. Notice Matthew chapter 15, verse 1. It says, "Then the scribes and the Pharisees who were from Jerusalem came to Jesus saying, 'Why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders?'" And what is it? What was this egregious sin that they were doing? "They don't wash their hands when they eat bread." Now, for those of you who don't know a lot about the Pharisees, they were religious leaders in the nation of Israel. They actually took part in the governing and ruling of the people as well. Needless to say, they were very influential. They didn't like Jesus either. They didn't like Jesus because Jesus threatened their power structure. Jesus sort of was a big-time threat to them. So the Pharisees, they were constantly complaining about Jesus. They were constantly talking about how he's breaking the traditions and this tradition and that tradition. And one time they got mad at Jesus because he healed someone on the Sabbath. Someone was very sick. Jesus walked over, touched that person, healed that person. They got mad at him because that was working on the Sabbath. Don't go healing somebody on the Sabbath because that will break one of our rules. Another rule that they constantly got angry at Jesus about was this washing of hands. Now, it's not like Jesus went out to the barn and was, shoveling something and then he just goes in the house and starts eating a donut, okay? That's not what we're talking about. I've done that before, but that's not what we're talking about here, okay? This is talking about a ceremonial cleansing, a ceremonial washing of the hands, a traditional washing of the hands. And it was something that the Old Testament priest would do. And the Pharisees thought they were holier than thou, and they thought everyone should do it. But Jesus, being God and knowing what was important and not important, he would break that human tradition because he knew it had nothing to do with God's law. It had nothing to do with salvation and eternal life. So Jesus says, "Hold up. You're missing the point." Look what he says in verse 17. He says, "Do you not yet understand that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and is eliminated? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. And it's these things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man. Jesus takes us back to the basics. We all know that what we eat will eventually come back out, but that's not the point. Jesus says it doesn't even matter what goes into the mouth, what we eat, it's what comes out of the mouth. Listen up, folks, I think this is a very important point of the sermon. Our words reflect the condition of our hearts. Our words reflect the condition of our hearts, and the slips of the tongue point out our spiritual heart problems. I know we often say stuff about people or about situations, and then we immediately say, oh, well, I really didn't mean that. I was just joking. Well, likely the truth is you did mean that because you said that and it was in your heart. When something like that slips out and you let out what's in your heart, you try to act surprised. Well, whoops, I shouldn't have said that. But you know who isn't surprised? God's not surprised because he saw what was inside of our hearts. He saw what was there all along. And when we're put under maybe some stressful situation, those things just sort of jump out and they reveal what's really inside. Look at verse 19 and 20 again. Would you agree that some of those things are what we would call the big sins? We often try to rank sins. I don't think God does, but these are what we would call the big sins. And if I went around this room to each individual person, we're all going to say, well, I've never done any of those things. But where does murder come from? You got to think of another verse. Where does murder come from? Comes from hatred stored in our hearts. Where does theft come from? It comes from greed in our hearts. Slander comes from jealousy in our hearts. We could go on and on down the line. All of these actions reveal the condition of our heart. It's back to that important point, isn't it? Our words and our actions reveal the condition of our heart. The things we say and the things we do come from the things that are inside of us. I've been a pastor for about 12 years now, and during that time I've had several different parents say to me, fix my child. They come right out and say it. You need to fix my kid for me. Change their attitudes. Change their behaviors. Change them so that when they graduate, they can go out into the world and be a well-adjusted member of society. Parents have told me that their child's behavior needs changing. Except the behaviors of stealing and sleeping around and smoking and lying and swearing and cursing and drinking, those things aren't the problem. The heart is where the problem is. Those bad behaviors are simply a symptom of a spiritual heart disease. So God comes along and he says, guard your heart, keep your heart, because God wants our hearts. He wants to change us from the inside out, and then and only then will those things on the outside get better. Another thing that I've heard people say over the years a few times, so they say something like, I've tried being a Christian and then stopped. Well, I tried being a Christian and I stopped doing a bunch of bad stuff and I started going to church, but I quit. It's too hard. What were those people trying to do? They were trying to live like those Pharisees. They were trying to hold up some human tradition to appear to look a certain way on the outside, but on the inside there was no change. And friends, if you could grasp this single concept, you'll walk out of here perhaps a different person. God is not a God who slaps us on the wrist when we sin or miss church, because he doesn't immediately go after those outward things. He wants the heart. He goes after the hearts. He's after what's on the inside. He's not just after the outward appearance. And Jesus, he couldn't stand the Pharisees because they were so petty. They were so consumed with looking good on the outside. But what were they like on the inside? Filthy. Listen to Jesus' lecture to them. It's just a couple pages over in Matthew 23. He says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you cleanse the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of extortion and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisees, first cleanse the inside of the cup and the dish, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. Even so, you also outwardly appear righteous to men, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness." One guy, I kind of like how he paraphrased those last two verses. This is what he said. He said, "You're hopeless. You religious scholars and Pharisees, you're frauds. You're like manicured grave plots, grass clipped and the flowers bright, but 6 feet down, it's all rotting bones and worm-eaten flesh. People look at you and they think you're saints, but beneath the skin, you're total frauds." Have you ever put Jesus in a box? We often do that. "Well, he's so nice and cuddly. Come to me, little children, and I will give you rest." Well, the real Jesus, he did those things, but he also knew how to tell it like it is. And he confronted those Pharisees, and maybe he's confronting us, some of us right now. Jesus says, "You guys, you think you're so great because of all the things you do on the outside, but inside you're a bunch of spiritually dead people." You know, if we allow ourselves to have a diseased spiritual heart like these Pharisees, if we try to make our outside actions and words look good, and all the while our insides are nasty, we'll never have a closeness with God like he intended. We can take that a little bit step farther either as well. We'll never have a closeness with each other like God intends. So what do we do? Hopefully on your note sheet you're following along. I have some good news and I have some bad news. You're going to get the bad news first. The bad news is we can't fix ourselves on our own. We cannot fix ourselves on our own. We cannot fix our diseased spiritual heart on our own. We just can't. Many have tried. None has succeeded. But here's the good news. God can fix us. That's what Christianity is all about. It's allowing God to change us from the inside out. Christianity is all about handing the King of Kings our hearts and letting him fix us. There's a verse from the Old Testament I like. It's Ezekiel 36 that says, "I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take that old heart of stone out of you and I will give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and you will do them." That's what God wants to do for us. He wants to change us. If we are willing to give our hearts completely to him. You know, this message this morning, it's for everyone. If you're here and you're not a believer, you can learn something. If you are a Christian, you can learn something as well. If you aren't a believer, God wants you to give him your heart and your life. And if you do that, he will change you. He will mold you into something amazing so that someday you can spend eternity in heaven with him and his son. But if you're here and you are a believer, God wants to fix your heart problems. Maybe the main part of our heart's been fixed because we're on our way to heaven, right? But maybe you have some clogged arteries. Maybe you have something that's just clogging up those arteries. Now, I know we read some of those big things that lead to spiritual heart disease. There's some other big things like guilt, anger, greed, jealousy, pride, lying, bitterness, lust, selfishness. That's just the tip of the iceberg. They're not the only things that can clog up our hearts. If we had a little bit more time, and I guess we ended up having more time, but if we had more time, we could actually go around and look at different Bible verses that addressed each one of those things, guilt and lying and pride. Each one of those things, there's a unique word that's listed in those verses. They're all over the place in Proverbs. The Bible says we are fools when we allow some of those things in our hearts. So the only way to keep our hearts right is to get those things out. The only way to get clogged arteries unclogged in your physical heart is to change our diets, right? Keep some things out of our diets and do a little bit of exercise. I think that's an excellent comparison when we're talking about our spiritual heart. I've been lifting weights for about 2 months now, and I'm trying to get stronger. I think I mentioned why I got beat in arm wrestling, so I want to get stronger so I can beat this fireman in arm wrestling. And it's never a quick process when you're exercising, is it? I mean, if you have this goal, I'm going to go exercise on the treadmill and I'm going to lose 40 pounds or whatever it is. It's not like you hop on that treadmill one time and run one day and be like, look, I just lost 40 pounds. It's a long process. And when I'm lifting weights, I had to start off with a lighter weight and I keep incrementally moving up to bigger weights. It's this long, difficult, hard process. It's not like I go do 10 push-ups and the next day I can grab 400 pounds and bench it, press it. It's years. Exercise over time produces results. The same is true in our spiritual lives. We have to do things on a daily basis to see change. So here's what I want us to do today. Instead of leaving here and just praying, God, make me a better person. Don't we often do that? Maybe some generic prayer. We hear a pastor or a preacher, we read the Bible and we are confronted or convicted with something, and we just say, God, make me a better person. Sometimes we take it a step further and we say, well, God, make me a better person who confesses sins and forgives others. That's a fine prayer. But don't stop with just praying that. Start exercising. Start doing those things. Prayer alone, it's not going to change us. It's part of it for sure, but it's that exercise that's going to change us. Pray, God, make me a forgiver, and then go out and forgive people. Take that step. Now, I know when we make New Year's resolutions that we're going to lose weight or we're going to exercise every day to get stronger, what typically happens? We give up after a while. We begin to make excuses. Well, I'm too tired tonight. Well, I have this injury, you know, and sometimes we got to push through that tiredness. Sometimes we got to push through those things and not make so many excuses. Same is true in our spiritual lives. A lot of times we make excuses about coming to church. Well, you know, I got this or I got that, or, you know, I can't come on Wednesday night because, you know, I have this. Stop making some of those. We can wrap this up and Actually, if you want to get up here and start heading this direction. Let's just bring it down for just a second, right down to the nitty-gritty. I'm going to ask you a question. You don't have to raise your hand. You don't have to speak out or anything like that. Is your heart healthy? Is your heart healthy? Maybe as I was preaching or we were reading these verses, did you cringe at the thought of one of these things because you know that your arteries are clogged with one of these sins? I'd encourage you to give that part of your heart to God. Do it. And I promise you, because I've read enough of what Jesus has to say, I promise you that it will feel like a massive burden has been lifted off of you when you allow God to change your heart from the inside. Let's pray. Lord, we are thankful that Jesus confronted. We're thankful that he can see inside of us, and we're thankful that he confronted those Pharisees when he saw their hearts. We're thankful that he did not back down, that he did not shy away from dealing with hard subjects. Lord, we are thankful that your Son and you can still see in our hearts today, and that you gave us these verses this morning for the same reason you spoke to the Pharisees centuries ago. Lord, perhaps there's one or more or four or five or 10 of us, Lord, that need some conviction this morning. That maybe need a bit of your confrontation, loving confrontation, to adjust maybe something in our hearts and lives. And Lord, help us not just to pray about it. Help us to do it and exercise it and make it a point every day to be right in the middle of your will. And Lord, we're only going to you in prayer because there's no way that we can do some of these things on our own. We admit that. Lord, we can't forgive. We can't be content. We can't whatever in our own human fleshly strength. But we know you can help us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.